All right, welcome to another episode of Murray Python Radio. This is 558. Something new that I thought maybe that me and Owen would do once a season because we have some clutches popping out now in the springtime, March and April, and pretty soon in the summer we'll have some clutches popping out, and when we're done we can do fall and winter, which would be Australia's, and we can Google over their wonderful carpet pythons that we can't have.
Right.
Or that's pythons like, or whatever.
It doesn't have to be carpets. It's just, yeah.
So this is the most exciting clutches on the ground so far, 2024 spring edition. And I thought, you know, we talk about lineage and all that stuff. And I was thinking, I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we just documented that stuff so people could reflect back on these episodes if they were ever wondering, like, some of the coolest clutches of carpets or Morelia or pythons or even colubrids, I suppose.
Listen, whoa, killer. But the problem is that, you know, you and I have both been in a situation where this clutch, this one right here, this pairing, these babies are going to be the best things you've ever. Oh, they'll turn out to be shit.
So it's all just a crapshoot.
Right, exactly. So sitting there going like, this pair was recognized by NPR, and there was maybe two good ones.
Yeah,
like I don't.
Reps on the line, Owen. We better have picked good ones.
Goddamn. Well, then hell, I'm going for the easy shit.
It's all jungles,
right? Yeah, all jungles and then non-carpets. Yep.
So I don't know, something different, especially for an Eric and Owen show. And I guess I should explain why we've been absent for a couple weeks.
Yeah. But I think a week, everybody can just chill. And, you know, it's not the end of the world. This is an NPR season two where, like, we didn't have an episode and there were riots on the street. Okay. Right. Yeah,
there's so many other podcasts.
I mean, come on. Point. You guys don't need us. It's fine.
Sad news for me. My father-in-law passed away and we had to go down to Florida to take care of that. And, it was kind of one of those things where we kind of knew that it was coming. Never makes it easier, but he was in a lot of pain and uncomfortable. And so it's, I'm glad he's at peace now.
It's over. So. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that stuff to kind of just wanting to be.
Yeah.
Kind of the end of it. Especially because after a certain point, they're not the loved one anymore. So
luckily, I mean, for me, I couldn't have been luckier. He was a great man, and like what an awesome father-in-law, treated me just like his son. And traveled. He's actually one of the people that got me into travel. And I remember when I first met him, he was big time into, you got to see the world. There's so many things to see. Yeah. If I could teach you anything, just go places, you know. Go, you and Dory go and see things, and you know.
And then you go to Australia and go into the bush, and then she just gets on cruises. It's like, you're like, you and Dory go see things. You two go like this. It's like, well, all right. That's not really what I meant, but whatever. Yeah. Right. You both are seeing things. So it's fine.
And then on top of that, why we were, why that was going on, my nephew is, unfortunate. Well, I guess it's good that
it's fortunate that they found it. Yeah.
He had a, what's called a cardoma. I think, I hope I'm saying that right. Anyway, it's basically a form of brain cancer, and, they had to go in and take it out. They did, they got it all out. And, but obviously for a 12-year-old kid,
recovery the problem with that kind of stuff is anything with the brain, you might have to relearn a couple of things, and it's not as easy as,
Fortunately, they say the only thing that he might have to relearn is like how to walk again, but they don't see it being something that's going to be.
Even then, that's
an issue, long time, but still
something like, if somebody had to tell me I had to learn how to walk, I'd be like, well, they got a bunch of nice motorized things. It's fine. I'll figure it out later. It's not a priority.
So I was going to tell Owen this story before, but we'll start with this. And it's like, So I'm down in Florida and we're going out to eat and my sister calls me and says, his name is Joey. So he's like, Joey wants to hear a snake story. Well, she puts me on the spot and I'm like,
yeah. Well, shit.
I'm totally fumbling.
It's not like we do this every week.
I couldn't believe it. I had nothing.
We have so many.
So, come on. So real quick, I'm thinking like, I said, give me a minute. Let me process what you're saying. And yeah. I'll call you back. Right. So I call her back and I was like, okay, I'm going to tell him the Owen Pelly story. I mean, what greater story to tell? Going.
I mean, yes. That's, you can ride that one to the end. Yeah.
So we're waiting to go into this restaurant. We're down in Florida and we're waiting to go into this restaurant and I'm standing outside and there was these two ladies at a table and they're taking donations for the homeless or something like that. So, you know, they were talking to us and I was talking to them. Well, anyway, I go over into the corner and I'm telling the Owen Pelly story. You know, saying about how
wandering in the bush. Yeah,
we're up in the thing. We're looking for this snake for days. It's the rainbow serpent, and you know, everybody wielding said that we couldn't do it.
Cleared the path. Yes, embellish. Come on,
yeah, I did embellish. Yeah.
We lost several men on the way.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he wants a good story.
I can't disappoint him.
It's something I got to give him a good story. Yeah, so. You know, I'm embellishing the story that we had to climb up the side of this mountain. You know, all of a sudden, these two German people came out of nowhere, and my phone disappears.
There were lovely steps that we walked up and down. lovely carved steps on these lovely paths. Yeah, those were gone.
So you know, he's all into it. He's like whispering, "Oh, this is great, Uncle Eric. This is great." So I'm telling him about how we were waiting for the sun to go down. Well, you know, I got to the point where we had to go back and
So
we're waiting for the sun to go down, and finally we decide to walk around. And you know, I told him, I said, "Remember from Carpet Fest? It's Keith and Owen and Rob.
You know the people.
Yeah. I'm like, okay." And I said, you know, Keith looks up in the air and he sees a snake coming off the thing. I think it was going to eat bats. Oh, my God, we're jumping around like crazy. I said, and then me and Owen jump into this pile of leaves. And in the leaves, we're jumping around and we don't even realize that there's death adders. So, you know, I'm going to the story. He loves the story, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, all right. He's like, okay, call me back with another one tomorrow. I was like, okay. I don't think I'm going to be able to top this. This is my best one.
I led with the best one.
I went Empire Strikes Back first. What the hell, man?
Damn it.
You know? So next thing I know, the two ladies that were sitting at the table were like, oh my God, that was the greatest story I ever heard. Tell me about the Death Adder. You were in Australia? Oh my gosh, the Owen Pelly Python? I've never heard of this snake.
And, I'm
looking
it
up on the phone and I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing.
In Australia, they call them toasties.
Long story short, that I had a little group of people around me listen to my story, and I didn't even know it.
Hell yeah!
Yeah,
hell yeah! That's awesome.
So it's all good. But he's still in the hospital, and I think I'm headed there Monday. Yeah, to Pittsburgh.
And are they from around Pittsburgh, or was that just the best?
No, that's just where the hospital was.
Okay.
So it'll be my first entrance into Pittsburgh.
Enjoy. It's flooded right now, so enjoy that. Oh. That'll be,
great.
Yeah. And you know what? It's unfortunate the Pirates are in Philadelphia, so you're missing, you know, it's not going to work out. But
the other thing is... On the Herpa trips, right?
Yep.
I am the one that notoriously falls asleep once the sun goes down.
Yes. Very much like a parrot that you cover. And you're just like, oh, must be night.
Put the hood on.
Yeah.
I must sleep.
Time for bed.
That being said, on most of our Herp trips, I don't drive at night. I usually would drive during the day.
Right.
I would if I have to, but.
Were you dragging? Because you drove to Florida with your three.
Three dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, which Melissa's like, you know, when they're in an emergency next time, they can always drop the dogs off here. Whoa, now. honey, what the hell are you saying? First off, Roxy hates me. Why would you put her here? Well, Roxy would like me. That does not. I still exist. I still live here. God. And then she was. You missed that at night too.
I left at 7:30 in the morning, and I got in the following morning at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I drove straight through, and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I did that.
Which coffee did you drink?
Coffee beans. Chocolate covered coffee beans.
Yes. You're driving to the road. I can't chase it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. So I'm saying, that's definitely going to have to go in the herb bag for the next
day. Dark
chocolate covered espresso beans.
I had those on my desk for a while, and I stopped getting them because I was like getting jittery. Yeah. And it was like, no, I can't keep doing this. Yeah.
Well, I haven't been able to sleep for like 4 days. But, you know.
And then you and Dory drove back up.
Yes.
But you didn't do that in one fell swoop. You took a
I did stop for a little bit. We stopped, and I think I stopped at like
South Carolina,
something like that. Slept until like 5 and then rolled out. So you know, that's why we haven't been around. We're back, and everything's back in track, and what else? What's been on with you?
I mean, nothing much. Just, you know, we haven't talked since the earthquake hit New Jersey. So a tree did come down in my yard. So I added, I don't know if you can see, I added wood and branches to all my lovely roofing cages. So they look happy.
There you go.
They haven't used them at all, and I'm a little mad about it. Fuckers, I put these in here. Like, I'm going to stick them on top of it and be like, no, stick. But,
did you get hit hard?
No. But my neighbor's got a bunch of dead trees. So every like rainstorm, snowstorm, earthquake now, something falls in my yard.
Yeah.
So, I've reaped the benefits of that a couple times. But, that was it. I got the Morgantown Hamburg show, whatever the hell we want to call that. The Northern Berks Reptile Show is Saturday. So I'm gearing up for that.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't have much. And I start going through the list. I'm like, I have 55, 56, 57, 58. Okay. I have about 60 animals that I could sell.
That's good, right?
It's a lot. It's more than I was expecting. Yeah.
Is it a nice mix, or is it?
It's a mix of everything from like, you know.
That's good.
I got one lone white lip. I could bring.
Ruffies.
I could bring most of these. Six. I could bring six ruffies. I'm not going to. Because why do it?
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's also a couple carpet python stuff. There's a ton of olive pythons. And then Lucas asked me to send him some stuff because he's doing Pomona or the big California show, which is like next week. So some stuff that I don't sell is going to get thrown in a box and sent to Lucas. But the other thing, dude, is I'm getting ready. I have to send a shipment to Canada, and I'm about ready to put a drill to my head for this shit. Oh my God. The last time I did a shipment to Canada, I sent it to one company down in Florida. I guess they were another type of breeder, and they did the shipment to Canada through one of the reptile shipping companies. And now I have, who the hell are these people that I'm doing this with? Reptiles to You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're it's Reptile Express, but Reptiles. Yeah. It's Reptile Express, but then it says Reptiles to You. I don't know.
I think it used to be in the line at us at Carpet Fest towards the end.
I think so. Yeah. But the amount of stuff that they need, I understand it, but it is ridiculous. I had to send invoices to them to get it approved. And this is, of course, after this guy has already paid for that. And it's like he's already paid for the animals and he covered shipping to their New York office. But now I had to send an invoice to get it approved. I sent them just a normal invoice that I put in everything and they came back and they're like, well, you're going to need to do these alterations. I'm like, okay, change it. Are these captive bred animals? Yes. Well, you're going to need to add that too. Fine. Change it. Then I send it back to them and they say, approve it. Then they send me a copy of my own invoice that they redid.
Oh,
and that's what I have to include, but everything has to be marked. Everything has to be checked. And I don't ship in containers. Okay. I had a bad experience with that. I like to ship in bags because the snake can kind of still move around a little bit.
Sure.
They want them all in containers so that they can pop them up at the border, look at them, put them back in, repack, and then off it goes. So it's like a whole nother thing. And it's a mad hog and a blonde hog. And it's like it's not like these are. These aren't only belly pythons, like,
right?
Oh my god! But that's happening Monday because I can do all day Sunday. I'm going to be just worried about doing this right because the last thing I want to do is have them turned away at the border. But
oh, geez, man, that's crazy.
I don't know. After this, I might not be shipping to Canada. Like now, nope, lower 48 only.
I guess it's one of those things. Maybe if you do it enough, it's probably becomes easier. But yeah, I can imagine where that would be stressful as.
I think like Paul and Nick kind of had it right where it's like they have maybe one or two shipments a year and it's all this stuff. Cause then you have to deal with all this crap once off it goes. Yeah. Like I can't imagine if I were to be continuously sending stuff overseas or into Canada. Cause then it'd be like every freaking time, like it would just wear on me. So
Yeah, maybe you can get a group, you know, maybe if that's successful, then people want some stuff. You could do it as a group with a bunch of people. They would probably, I mean, the whole thing with Nick and Paul we used to do was save on shipping and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're just bringing it in yourself, that shipping can that's be, gotta a couple be ridiculous. Grand,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So no. I can help offset some of that.
I don't even know how much they had to pay or how much the customer had to pay because my obligation ends when the animals get to New York, but how much is it to go from New York to Canada? Cause I know there's the obviously shipping freight rate, but then there's the licensing stuff that all has to go through and all this other stuff. But they were saying like some of the stuff they're like, and you know that some of the rules on here is because somebody fucking did it. So they're like, they want the exact scientific names noted below. So they included the scientific names. Uh-huh. That's how they have to appear. They want the names of the customer who's getting it. They want them in a cardboard box with styrofoam. They want no polyester peanuts, no stuffing, no shredded newspaper, only crinkled newspaper. Like they don't want a 10 million pieces because they have to unpack it and they want to be able to pack it back in again. Then they say don't write on the containers in marker because that can get rubbed off. So they want labels and stuff. Okay. And then the one that was hilarious to me is don't include anything that's not on this list. They're like, don't give anybody a gift of an animal that you didn't freaking tell us about. I'm like, well, that makes goddamn sense, doesn't
right.
it? Like, we're looking at this box of Madagascar hognose. What the hell is that? Oh, that's his gift of a cobra. Wait, yeah. What? Like,
it's, there's what a couple of garter snakes in the ball python.
I'm throwing a couple of Lake Chapala garter snakes in there. Like, no. So, yeah. But yeah, this is the whole thing that we had to do. Now I understand that like I'm sitting here bitching because I have to do it, but this is like way more advanced than shipping ever thought we would get. Like I thought shipping, I had one dude contact me once about getting a carpet python and he was going to drive from Toronto to Philadelphia to pick it up. And then he was going to drive home and he's like, do you have a problem with that? I'm like, are you asking me if I have a problem if you break the law after you buy one of my snakes and try to drive to Toronto with it? Yeah. Yeah. I think I got a problem with it because, you know, I don't want to hear you bitching that you bought a $600 steak and they took it from you. Right. Also, you told me that this is what you were going to do. Like, if you had contacted me and been like, I'm going to be in town this weekend and I want to buy this snake, I would have been like, yeah. And then if they called me and be like, some asshole was caught at the border, I'd be like, what? Like, you can't tell me that. Right. And then go do it. Like, right. You would. So.
So this is your first international shipment?
Second international shipment. First one was Mad Hogs 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
They're in that demand. I guess apparently, they can't get them up there, huh?
Apparently. And then, I got apparently Philly Zoo wants to talk to me about vetting for selling to AZAs. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All because of the collier birds. Ain't nobody coming after me. Because of carpet pythons. You notice that? Ain't nobody knocking down my door for carpet pythons. It's the goddamn rhinos and mad hogs.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man.
They asked me for all my information, but nobody's contacted me yet. So that's all kind of up in the air.
So they have to make sure that what you have is like.
I assume. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know, because I was they contacted me and they asked me for my information because they wanted to turn it over to the directors to try to get the process started. And I'm like, oh, good. There's a process. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I have several books back here that tell me that
there's a process.
You've learned from your things. Got it. Okay.
Right.
They were going to from your guys. So you've learned from Hank Bolt. Yes. Good. Good. But they were supposed to, I guess they turned over my contact information to the director or curator, and then they're going to see how that goes. Now, whether or not it ever comes to anything is one thing. Cause for all we know, they'll planning and then they get to a certain point and things fall apart or other stuff like that. But what would happen is they would vet that everything is captive born and bred, that everything's on the up and up, and that I guess there would probably be an inspection by somebody somewhere, maybe. And then they can buy the animals from you. You're registered as a dealer or something like that with them. I don't know. I don't know. Again, this is speculation after being asked. So I'll have to see how it goes. But I'm like, does this give me access to the AZA surplus list? Huh? How many San Diego Zoo diamonds you guys got kicking around? Like, yeah. But we'll see. So right now, Chris Salemi is listening to this and being like, no, that's not how this works.
You guys are idiots.
It's him. It's Dennis. It's anybody else we know who works in an AZA that's like, you moron. That's not how this works at all. Like, yeah.
Well, it's funny you bring up the colubrid thing because Clint on.
They can't have you on colubrid radio. You don't have any.
No. Yeah, I know. Well, I do have a corn snake.
my God, I forgot about the corn snake.
Yeah. They posted up this thing with the market, and they were kind of talking about the market or whatever. And they had this chart that was morph market species. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. It was this. I don't know if you saw it. But... pythons are only other pythons besides ball. But so ball pythons take up 76% of the species on
morph market,
which isn't a surprise,
Makes sense because of their popularity.
Sure. But other pythons, that's carpet rough scales.
Ball pythons and then other pythons is every single other species.
All the liasses, all the, Angolans and bloods and short tails and all that is only 4% of the market.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so weird though.
Yeah, man. I was like, why that number kind of like took me back. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Boas are 10% and colubrids are 10%.
Well, but again with boas, we're including every single from like rubber boas,
emerald tree boas,
sand boas, Tanzania, like any boa.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all pythons get more than that. Oh, wow. Now,
so the thing is like, Owen, I was thinking as a business venture.
Yes.
Since now you're going to, sell into zoos and
international. Okay.
And
now we're going to do that. Yeah.
Shipper.
We should we should get several racks of ball pythons. I'm
See, I'm you on have it. Only this quarter of the pie. You only have this quarter of the pie right now, my friend.
Yeah, I'm
there's
I'm,
all of this pie.
I don't want to be in that one. It's like,
okay. You don't even want half the pie.
Well, what'd you go with it? Like, so and obviously any zoological facility wants a wild. And I don't want to get into morphin ball python because then it's like I have pides. Well, how many other genes are in there?
Yeah.
Just the one. All right. Well, how many grams is it? I don't know. Like, they would be too much. I'd rather just get more of the other pie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I'm assuming that those guys were talking about it because maybe they were saying that the colubrid market is getting bigger, which
I would say that's true.
On that turn at this current juncture.
Yeah. I know they dip into like viewing the state of like, it's a state of the union thing every show. They have like a state of the market and they check it out. And because when I was on there and they were like, do you see any of, because I have so many, like I spread across the board. Do you see one thing selling better than the other? And this is right after that last Hamburg show where I'm like, dude, I sold Chinese king rats, false water cobras, olive pythons, white lip pythons, carpet pythons. Like I can't sit here and say, hell yeah. All the other ones, like if you're not doing Chinese king rats, you are losing. Like I don't, it's
right.
It is a crapshoot. And
I think it's just like, at least within this quarter of the market, I think a lot of those things are sort of like, they come and go type of thing.
Yeah.
Some things become popular, some don't. I don't know. I was thinking about this and I said, well, let's just say for whatever reason, I can't keep carpet pythons anymore. I think I would move and try boas.
I was about to say, if we're talking about if I needed to expand anywhere, it would be into boas. Like it would just be like, because the pythons that I like to keep have boas that are on the same kind of level.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, oh, shift over here. And that would kind of be where I would go. But even then, I have certain boa species that I wouldn't want anything to do with,
Yeah, I don't know. I would be curious with the boa part of it, like what part of that is like, to your point, like
morph
stuff as opposed to, like
wild types
or localities of regular boa constrictors. And
there are there's some morphs of boa constrictor out there that it's just like sweet baby cheeses. Like that thing is gorgeous. Like that thing is disgustingly beautiful. And it's like, I don't have this time space. My Argentines just shed. And
how are they
growing
along?
Oh God, I love them so much. Yeah. They're going through a growth spurt and I was handling them. And I think they forgot that they were Argentines for 5 whole seconds because they're letting me hold them. And then they kind of curled up and then the male just started doing that open mouth hiss thing, but he wasn't making any noise. He was just kind of like,
mouthing it.
I'm like, yes, you're learning. Yes.
Nice.
You're becoming better. But yeah, I would, because, Hog Islands are something that chews in the back of my head.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Sanzinia are back there too.
Yeah, they're definitely, I actually, I like the Madagascar ground boas. They're a favorite of mine. They're not a real, I don't think that, I remember the last time I looked into them, there was like maybe a couple people that had them and that was it.
There was a massive,
like, why am I always attracted to the ranch?
I don't know why. But it's
like, why is this?
There was a massive uptick. I remember not seeing any freaking Dumeril boas anywhere.
Yeah.
And then there was a massive uptick in Dumerils. And then now people are just selling adult pairs all over the place.
Yeah. They're two separate. There's two species of boas, right? There's the ground boa, and then there's the Madagascar
tree boa.
Tree boa, right?
Which is the Santinia, isn't it?
No. There's the. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold on.
There's
Travis is yelling at us right now. Travis.
Warren.
Travis, Warren, Rob.
Keith, Rob. How dare you guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are mad at us right now. Yeah.
I never claimed to be an expert.
I'm not a boa person. I have enough to be dangerous. I have three.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I hate. One.
Boss of Madagascar. Why did it put boss? I want boas.
Boss of Madagascar. What yeah. TV show is this?
Yeah. Let's see. Overview. Let's see.
That was the other thing too. So like I speaking of Madagascar is I only have, I'm pretty sure I got the blonde hog nose again because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Okay.
And it's just like part of my brain is like, I don't need speckles. I don't need the specs. I don't need to get the specs. But then the other part of my brain is you have two out of the three Madagascar species, like locked in eggs. And you tell them you don't want to get that third. You don't want to get the specs. What's wrong with you? And it's like,
yeah, what are you doing?
God damn it.
Yeah, there's. So this. Yeah,
according this is, to.
I don't know. I can't believe I don't know what the, this is the boa that I'm talking about, which I'll just share the screen. Just be easier. Chrome tab.
More boa.
These.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not Doomerals boas. These are Doomerals boas. These are different. Madagascar ground boa.
I guess.
I thought that they were different. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah. More research needs to be
Warren, done. Be nice when you type this later. You know, there's no need to be mean.
I can hear.
Rob is just like hitting his keyboard up against like a thing.
Yeah. Idiots.
You morons. You morons.
Stick to pythons.
It's a Madagascar Rambo. I guess they are different.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I
don't know. I don't know either.
Yeah. So anyway, how did we get into boas?
I don't know how we got here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about clutches and then somehow we got to a thing that can't even have a clutch.
Yeah. 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 Right.
It's weird.
I should listen to the Madagascar boa show to, but I had to.
Please tell me there's an episode on boas about Madagascar boas.
Like, they please did, tell me. But God I had to damn take it down because, The sound quality was just.
Oh, thank God. Okay. I'm like, please tell me there's an episode out there on our own goddamn network that would explain this. And we didn't freaking listen to it.
Yes.
Well, not right.
I did. I just don't remember it.
I don't remember it.
There's only so much space. In hey, listen, drive, man.
You know, I can't.
There's only so much space.
What is it? I was having a conversation with Lucas and then like we broke for a little bit. He found a rattlesnake while herping. And then I tried to continue the conversation. And he's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, and I had to remind him. He goes, right. Sorry. My brain, when I see a rattlesnake, I'm like,
yes.
Mine too. I get it. Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, I'll be herping in a couple of weeks for a rattlesnake.
Shit, right?
Yeah. So,
wow.
Should be fun. Hopefully take my mind off things and help me reset.
Yeah, so you need the reset. With the year that you and Dory have been having, you need the reset. Like, just yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to... I just thought that was interesting about the market. I love that those guys do that segment. I did listen to you on Kluber and Kluber Radio. I did like your...
thank you.
Yeah. Your chat there, especially when you were talking about your bowl of...
My bowl of food.
What you guys were talking about.
Zach said something about it needs to be like the McIntyre soup method or whatever. And I'm like... Please no, please don't let that be my lasting thing on Herp the Culture. Is, well, just pour it all in a bowl.
Yeah. It's a colubrid stew.
Yeah. That would be what hits. One more thing. I have the new pair of Savus.
Yeah, how'd that come?
I fed them and the only tongs I had were long adult tongs.
They took the tongs.
They were on them. I'm like, I don't know what to. I'm like, got these things.
What is
like,
with that species?
Just such a dumb species. God, they're like, I tried taking pictures, but they won't sit the fuck still. They're insane.
I wonder if they do that because they're eating like little lizards or something, and they have to maybe just completely wrap it to keep them from like escaping or something.
I had to explain to Melissa, I'm like, you know, we were told by Cameron that they thought there were two different types of snake on the island, this evil red one and then these mellow dark ones. And I'm like, and then it kind of like suddenly figured out that those equal that. So
they're cool though, man. I love that white.
I love them. Oh God, I'm so happy to have them back. And I'm just looking at the water pythons and be like, you guys' days are freaking numbered. Like, you know, you better lay
eggs already.
Yeah, it's so bad now. Yep. So
yeah. I'm afraid I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm afraid my basically 2 weeks I've been gone.
has kind of threw a wrench in the works.
Yeah.
I was afraid of that. Uh-huh. And I thought about that. And I'm like, I could break into their house and pair pythons, but I don't know if they'd be happy about that or
like. No, I really did. I thought about doing that because I had like I was going to put a keypad on the back or just give you the code and you just get in, you know.
I put a keypad on the back. Why did you throw a rock through the window? I liked my way better. Like it was.
I liked it going through the.
Liked it. I'm doing it my way. Okay.
Do you want the snakes taken?
You want the snakes or not? Answer the question.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. We'll see. Still early in the
season. It is insane. It is insanely early. On the bright side, I'm about 60% sure we got hypo tiger eggs coming.
Nice. So that'll be cool.
That'll be nice. Yeah. But of course, like I'm sitting here and I said this to Melissa, I'm like, everybody else is getting python eggs. Like Riley's getting a clutch every other day. And I'm like, and here I am with my two clutches of mad hogs going like, I'm a snake breeder. Like I don't. And she's like, shut up. You didn't try. They didn't breed because you didn't try.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, but I can't not have a python lay eggs because then it'll be the first time I didn't have a python lay eggs since 2010. You didn't breed any pythons. I bred the ruffies and I bred the tiger. And I also accidentally bred those bred like what? Like it was maybe the white lips. So there are potential, but somebody has to hit. So.
Speaking of ruffies, I forgot to give the update of the ones I got from you.
Wow. Yeah.
Love them. They're fucking
good.
Awesome.
Good.
Settled in good. They're doing good. They ate. I fed them twice so far. So yeah, they were good.
Nice. Good.
Nice. I did feed them button quail for one. I had these button quail.
Because you had it and you're like, nothing's going to eat these. Well,
yeah, I had them and nothing was going to eat them. And I thought like, I was waiting to, I do have, I remember you saying fuzzies, but what I have are like hoppers. And I was like,
you guys need a couple more meals before I feel comfortable about this. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I got these button quail. And I was like, oh, all right, dude, they just nailed crack. That. Like,
yeah.
Boom.
Yep. Yep.
Like, oh,
yep.
Okay.
I have an olive python that started on quail, is now on like hoppers and small mice. And the last three feedings is like, no, I don't want it. And I'm like, fine. Dangle the quail in, get it like up against the glass, like a whole body. And I'm like, all right, well, there you go. And it's so funny because there's a guy I sold a couple snakes to at the last Hamburg show. He got an olive python and then two carpets.
Okay.
And he contacted me and he said that the tiger carpet that he got hadn't been eating. And I'm like, okay, shit. These things happen with transition, you know, to a new place. Plus, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm like, all right, well, try this. Try quail. Try live. And if that doesn't go and she starts, like, making some noises when she breathes or she starts losing weight, schedule a vet appointment as soon as you can because it does take you longer to get in there and you don't want to wait. And he's like, I threw a live in there and she went nuts and ate it. And I'm like, well. It's weird because I didn't start her on live. I don't know why the hell she's doing this now, but yeah, feed her a couple of live and then see what else she does. Like, I'm like, I was getting ready to go like, oh shit, what? And then still alive, but whatever.
Yeah. If they eat it,
then whatever. Yeah. But it's like, I've given up trying to figure out what makes them be like, no, because
Yeah, I would love to understand like why they'll eat if they move and like why they don't eat if they move or why they'll eat a different thing if they move. You know,
well, I mean, I told you about the one rough scale that I disowned.
I think. Wait,
I gave remind it, me. So it wasn't eating. It was the one I was force feeding.
Right.
And other buddies like, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
Tell me that.
And then he's there and it's eating from him. Like it's eating everything in sight. It's pounded food down. And I'm like, I disown it, you goddamn green tree python. Look at you. No.
You're a green tree python. Yeah, no. And brown go be
with clothes. The, go be with the green tree python breeder, you traitorous. Yeah.
You don't even have bumps.
I don't even like you anymore, you smooth ass chondro. Yeah. So it
was nice. Oh, so yeah, you got it going. I bet you he loves that.
He kept sending me videos and I kept yelling. I'm like, I don't understand why you keep sending me videos of a chondro feeding. I don't give a crap. So, yeah.
Right. Oh, man. All right. I guess we'll talk about some people that are got some clutches on the
some
ground.
Some people who are breeding, unlike the two of us.
Yeah. We just talk about it. We don't actually do it.
I just play a snake breeder on the radio.
I think the first one that I took, I get people ask me a lot, like, if they wanted to get into jungles, but they wanted like, old school lines and stuff.
Right.
So this clutch sort of popped out to me was, let me get it right here. Anthony Suzuki.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I said that right.
Yeah.
So he had Davis Staines, Leary, Will Leary, and Matt Turner animals that are combined, bred with Priceline. They're all classic jungle bloodlines.
Yeah, those are the classic.
Which you can kind of see from this female. She kind of has that black.
She's got the tipping in her yellow. She's got the dark black, though. She's a classic jungle. Yeah.
So 15 egg clutch.
That's awesome.
And then that's the pair. Nice stripe.
Ooh, I would say the dad has kind of a cool stripe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I like it.
I liked it. I thought, if people are looking for those, I don't know if any of these guys or gals are selling any of these or anything. Well, they might be working the shit out of it.
They might be cursing us.
Why did you do this?
Well, no. Listen, proper etiquette applies. Do not contact these people being like, I want one. It's an egg. We don't even know if they're going to hatch. Plus, there's feeding and stuff. Proper, etiquette.
Right.
Also, what is it? Recently, I had somebody be like, hey, can I buy this from you? And then you ship it in like June. And I'm like, no, just contact me when you're ready. Like, don't. So it's that whole stuff. So obviously keep track of these guys, maybe contact them, tell them you're interested. If they're keeping any kind of list, a lot of people aren't, but these are just ones that have caught our eye. But yeah, don't try to buy eggs. it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, when I was trying to put together my collection, what I would do is I would figure out what I was looking for, and then I would sort of, look and see who had what.
Make the list,
kind of make a list. I'd contact them and ask them, hey, I saw you had this clutch. Don't know if you do a list or whatever, but if you do, I think a lot of people abandon the list thing because
the list thing,
you do it so far in advance. And if you're really not, I think if you're not really committed to doing this, when it comes time to actually get the snake, which is months, sometimes 6 months later, maybe and sometimes a year later,
right?
Depending on
what it is,
like you said, feeding and holdbacks and, getting them established, all that kind of stuff. And then, you might have them established and then the shipping window closes.
Yeah.
It's not going to open up till the following spring or whatever the case may be. So, you just want to be,
people's professional situation change. You contact me and you tell me you want this snake.
Yeah.
And then we touch base maybe a couple months later and it's kind of ready. And then
your
we touch base
off.
Again and your roof fell off. And then I can't do this. I've lost my job. And, it's like, okay, well, so I stopped doing the list because I had people contacting me about getting on lists of shit that I, to this day, have still not produced. Like, people are like, I want to be on your blackface white lip list. I don't even, what? No.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm on it.
Yeah.
There's no list. Like, there's no thing. They're not here. There are no eggs. Like, it, I think at that point, I didn't even have a female. I'm like, how am I doing this?
So, yeah. Sometimes, too, if you have them, like, if they're posting up on Facebook or something, or on Instagram or whatever, you could go and
follow
you know,
their
make
page.
A comment.
Yeah.
And, you know, follow it or whatever. And, you know, they may contact you and say, hey, you know, I have a list if you're interested in getting on it or whatever.
Well, that, but I, you know, following them through social media is always the best way to do it because they're going to, some places will tell you, hey, these things are going to go up soon.
Yeah.
And then you can contact them before they hit like Morph Market or other places.
Sure.
You know, but
I know,
but,
like, go ahead.
I mean, just pounding down somebody's door for a jungle carpet that hasn't even hatched yet is probably not the way to go about it.
Yeah. And if you, I know, like, I think of Riley when I think of this, some people have like Patreons and stuff where they'll announce those things, you know, sort of behind that paywall. And sort of if you're, you know, sometimes it's even if you're just a $5 member or something like that.
Yeah.
You'll be able to have access to it maybe quicker than I know. If I had snakes and I was going to sell them, I would definitely offer up to Patreon people first, you know, before I would go.
It's a shameless plug at our Patreon. You want Eric snakes? Well, you've got to pay up front first.
No, you could just follow us and I would
I mean,
still,
you probably just ask him and he'll be like, yeah freaking take it. Get out of here. Yeah.
Pay for shipping.
How much should I do that? I'm like, I'm going to take this. And he's like, okay. Like,
please don't.
Please don't. Well, he did it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, why don't you ever stop him? Like, yeah, I don't know.
No. Yeah. This is another one that stood out to me. Tim
Slotkey. That's another nice jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that kind of classic look. This one, I like how, so in this snake, the black that's in between the yellow scales, like the sort of outlines, is not as prominent in the clutch, in the pairing before from Anthony's. But I don't know if he put, but that's the.
Oh, nice.
Parents. Look at that black.
That's a class. That looks. What do we know what these are? Are they Delia scatter shots?
No, it didn't say what they were.
That one looks kind of like my girl.
Yeah, definitely has that old MP jungle.
I like it. Yeah, like the logo.
Yeah.
You know,
but yeah, a lot. This one was pretty cool. I thought I would read this one. This is another jungle clutch, but it kind of like makes me feel, I guess, what we do, I guess, is
matters
to people sometimes. Let me see if he wrote. I
every so often we get one that, you know, we're like, oh, we helped. Thank God. 13 years worth of rambling. So
he has, hold on. Let me read what, Slokey selective serpent. So nice little jungle carpet today, 13 fertile eggs, first time girl. So then there are pictures of the mom and dad, which I showed. And you could go over to the pick of the week or his page and you can check out what we're talking about. But the last clutch of jungle carpet eggs I got was exactly 5 years ago today. Same sire, but different dam. I was going to do this pairing sooner, but, he's moving and finding,
we decided to
hold off. I can't wait for these to hatch. Going to be stunning babies. The highlighter soul glow lineage is strong in this pair.
Oh, so again,
old school
highlighter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Highlighter is one of those ones that's often debated the purity of them, but they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at those. So that's why we said they're old school. So that's good.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then I was going to look at, let's see, where is it? I don't know.
I mean,
my
clutches aren't carpets.
You're not? Okay, go ahead.
Pick, I mean,
go,
number one is Ryan.
I had him on my list.
Yeah. Let's see. I knew that. I saw that dark carpet. I showed that to Melissa and I said, Eric's going to love this one.
Ryan Young.
Ryan Young with the Papuans. Jesus. Look how dark that female is, though.
Yeah, man. Good for him. I'm so glad.
I like that.
Although this one was kind of messed up because he was saying that You had to palpate. She laid four eggs on her own.
I had to get the rest out.
Had to palpate out two stuck behind that she retained from a previous clutch.
Yeah.
Probably waited too long on the last two, so it's unlikely they were hatched when I set them up to try. I'm guessing a small clutch was due to issues with one of her overducks lately from the retained egg. Hopefully a few good eggs go to distance so he can hatch out.
The four Apodora, you burk those. Like, those don't go anywhere. Like, if people are, if anybody's trying to knock down his door to get a Apodora, it ain't gonna freaking happen. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, but that's awesome. I love that. I love anything that's different. I know there's a couple rough scale pythons out there that are probably going to lay. I know I'm waiting for diamonds. I was watching Martin's diamonds.
Yeah.
I was watching Brian Hayes's diamonds. Watch a lot of people's diamonds. So
I think Dave Kelly's doing some diamonds. I was supposed to be looking for something.
I don't know why you did that. That did not help us at all. We're still back here. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I know Riley's got a couple of good stuff going on right now. I'm trying to give you out so that you can keep looking for stuff while I talk, but I think you're trying to engage with me.
Yeah, I am. All right. I won't engage.
And it's not helping. So I'm
disengaged.
You have to. Like, I'm trying to help you. You always yell that I don't help you, and I'm trying to help you.
I won't take it.
You just won't stop.
Just kicking and screaming. I don't even know what I'm looking for anymore.
I've forgotten everything. It's all gone.
I think I did. What were we talking about? Oh, shit.
You're talking about... it's carpets. Before we're talking about the Apodora,
jungles,
jungles are nice. They're yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's done. Just quit. It's over.
Oh no. Okay. I know what I was looking for now. I got it. So Casey Keast, had a pair of, jungles that, she, let's see, really needs to win after so this had a few bad seasons, I guess, with not having luck with them, and finally got eight perfectly veined jungle carpet python eggs. Mom is 5 years old.
Nice. She's
smaller than most of my adult green tree pythons. So what does that tell you?
Okay.
Makes me rethink how I grow my green tree pythons. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all right. That's okay.
I was
going the other way and I went, Jesus Christ, she's dead. But
you went too small.
I went the other way where I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Fair enough.
But now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was just a shout out to listening to NPR that was able to. There's the pairing.
That's a nice pairing.
Yes,
those are good looking. They're animals.
Really, really nice.
Yeah.
So he listened to.
Are we jungle people? Because like everything's a jungle.
Yeah,
like,
I know. They must go first. You know.
They don't. The bobwoods go first. You've said this numerous times.
I did. I put those.
Okay. First. All right.
It's always good. The comment I think was something like, I know you guys don't get anything out of doing the breeding episode, but I did. So thank you for doing it. So I was like, okay.
Oh, God. Damn it. You know.
So we're still locked in, Owen.
Yeah, and I was fighting with Nipper a little bit today. So, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the yellow. Nice super clean. Again, it's over on pick
like
of the week.
Hint of a stripe going on there, too.
Yeah,
I like it.
Kind of has that lemony color that Riley's striped jungles have. So, but and you know, another thing I would note let's say that you're doing a stripe pairing or you're doing a banded pairing, or you're looking for a really clean, or you're looking for whatever the phenotype that you're trying to look for. When the breeder posts up the pictures of the parents, it's a good idea to sort of look and see, you know, if it's going to fit into that project or where you're going to take it, or like refine what you're trying to do. Even if one of the parent, like, you know, Owen brings up a good point with the striping. I definitely, if I was going stripe with jungles, this would be something that I would, you know, look at by looking at those parents with that stripe, because some of those babies might come out having that, or the start of it, or if you bred it with the right animal, would really
get that
increase it.
Yeah.
So I did have
oh, look, a pop one.
Yeah. Riley's been hatching out some cool pop ones. Well, no, not hatching out. Getting clutches.
Not yet.
Yeah. But the big thing for Riley is the he finally cracked Darwin's. I know that he's been trying that for years. And I know that we've talked about on the show in the past that they're a little, it seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like they're weirder. For some reason, I remember Balin had some issues. I don't know if he's bred them since.
I think a lot of the issues that we had with Darwin in the beginning was inherent because we had, everything was an albino Darwin line. Right. And everything was maybe potentially, you know, came here in a soda bottle kind of a thing. And it's like, well, are we really starting off with the best stuff here? Because I bred last year my pure Darwin to the caramel het I got from you.
Right.
And I didn't have any issues as far as breeding. And they went just like you would do with any other carpet. But I was only dealing with, you know, one full blood Darwin. And then the other thing was 50-50, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. He did. I know he had clutch from he had a Jacob Brotz male poplin to one of his proven females. And I know he did Exantic to Het Exantic. I think it was.
I believe so. Yeah.
Or maybe they were both Het Exantics.
I know he's trying to crack the bread lie thing, too. And then I was looking at I think he's doing a hypo tiger pairing as well, or he's trying to see if he can get the hypo off the bench.
So
that would be cool too.
But that's a cool clutch. And then so Paul from DK Pythons, you know, as I'm scrolling looking at this, is like, oh, it's a dark pop one carpet, it's python,
really dark.
You have my attention.
It's a female. You should jump on that. Did grab some kids.
Well, I think I want to say he's in Denmark, if I'm not
damn
mistaken.
It that doesn't help us.
No, not at all. Some of you know, I wanted to mix it up, so we had some from both Europe and from the US and from Canada too. But it's not really carpet clutch per se, but it's just something that's in there. You've seen them.
Don needs something.
So he's calling this an IMG, and sire to his latest clutch was paired with his dark stripe reduced pattern.
That's a male. No,
this that's is the girl. Female. Okay. Yeah, I think she's about to lay a clutch.
I was about to say, if that's the male, Jesus Christ, the female has to be huge.
So I'm curious to see what happens with that. So I'll be paying attention to that. And it's cool to see that there's other people doing the same type of thing.
Yeah, that is cool.
And then this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So striking pythons, I don't know if you follow them at all.
That is orange. Like, oh my God.
Yes, they have this. I don't know if they proved it out. I know they've reproduced it. I don't know. They were sort of calling it a hypo.
There's no black.
It reminds me of Poster Child. That's what it reminds me of. It has that look to where there's no black. It's really high orange to where it sort of bleeds into the brown to where it's not really brown anymore. It's sort of
It's rusty.
Yeah, it's really cool. But anyway, he hit 11 eggs, And that was from an odd granite to an exanic, an odd granite and exanic pairing. So he had an odd granite exanic, animal that he produced from an exanic granite pairing, and he bred it to this hypo. So that's all I had popping carpet wise. I went in to look and see if there was any inland carpets. And of course
there are.
The man, the myth, the legend, Tim Tindall, 25 days prelay shed, 14 pearly whites.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, and then there's also Brandon Wheeler in the States who produced a clutch
inlands. Yeah.
Of inlands. His is from a joint pairing with Mr. Mutton. And I think there was 11 eggs in that clutch as well. So here's my question. For the longest time, we say that inlands are spring breeders. I'm starting to think that that's not the case.
I think that
maybe in the wild they are.
I mean, I think maybe in the wild, but I also think that maybe we had more success with them by treating them like a spring breeder, maybe getting them colder, maybe doing the introductions around that time. But, you know, if she's ovulated at a different time, are you going to like not put the boy in there?
I don't know. I just thought that it was odd that you would see clutches on the ground from an inland the same time that you would see a jungle or a popwin when, or a coastal when you don't see bred lie yet. Have you seen any bred lie clutches yet?
No, none yet.
Or diamonds? Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any diamonds either.
So maybe they're like a transition, like in between. Well, maybe you're right that they have to get a certain temperature, and but it doesn't really matter the time of year.
Well, let's say that winter was harsher. Maybe they would go earlier, or let's say that their breeding season is longer because that they're able to kind of have those different temperature, kind of like they're able to take those different temps. So let's say their breeding season is stretched out where it starts sooner and ends later, where bred lie, you know, begins here. But you know, we've talked about this before where I've had bred lie eggs hatching in like October. It's like, oh good, it's time to start again after I get the last clutch.
Yeah.
Time to start, you know, so that happens where
I guess the other difficulty is, I guess the other difficulty is too, is like with so few inlands produced, it's really hard to sort of judge it 100%. But if you're looking for inland carpets, there's not a lot of people that are doing them. No. And here's two people, one in the Europe and one in, I want to say Tim, I think is in the UK.
And then
Brandon's over in California. So, and I'm sure
Justin will have some.
I'm sure he'll have some. He hasn't really posted anything up, but I know he's a very good breeder of inland.
I hear Justin knows what he's doing. Lon might have some, I know. So there's going to be a couple.
There's people.
Yeah.
So that's a nice clutch.
And there's
the Ryan's one. Yeah. There are a couple other ones that I had that I just had to pull up from Facebook as I look, as I save them. But
I did that too. I was grabbing all mine. Was it RS Pythons have obviously Ruffies.
I saw that.
She looks huge, and she's basking belly up, which I absolutely love.
Did your girl bask belly up?
No. She refused food again, though, so I'm pretty sure it's a done deal. But she's spending a lot of time not up in her hide, so that's good, too. Yep. Love it. I know that a lot of people have been getting locks from diamonds, like I said, Brian Hayes, Martin Roseman. There's a couple people that I'm kind of keeping my eye on.
That diamond,
that's gorgeous. That's pretty.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, "We should foster some puppies." I'm like, "No, I'm getting diamonds. Don't you bring dogs into this house?"
Oh no,
no, no.
Not again.
That was something I was actually going to see if you were going to mention it, but Eric Kohler, Midgard Serpents.
Yes, I have him on my list. Yep.
A Reptilicus line IJ.
Yes.
Where the hell did that come from? Like,
he's worked with that line for a while.
God damn. So
That's going That's going into the archives, man.
Fucking blast from the past there, you know.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull that one up because I had it.
Yep. She looks unhappy. Yep.
And for anybody that remember on his website, you would go to the he would have like the Jag,
yep,
the Tiger, the Super Tiger, which the Super Tiger was always the one that me and you, or the Super Tiger Jag was the one that we were like,
that was the one I'm like, I must have it one day. And then I'm like, well, maybe I don't want it because it's So,
but, he had, his IJs on there as well.
Talked
about his line, but, very cool. So yeah, he also, did you have his other clutches?
The Tiger IJs.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got the Tiger IJs, and I believe he has a clutch of Exanic to a Tiger IJ.
Yeah. So, yeah. Exanic to a Tiger, huh?
I will talk with him this weekend because usually that's how I get my inside track as I start talking to him. And he's like, because I know that if
you is that Coastal or is that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I thought it was Tiger IJ to Exanic.
Intel.
Exactly. Like I have to talk to him because I also know that he had he got some locks from his Blackface White Lip that I want to talk to him about. I know he got locks from his Savu Pythons, his Olive Pythons, his Dun, like, you know, I know he had all that stuff going on too. So I definitely want to talk to him about that. It's like, it's very, it's not carpet clutches. Like I don't want the carpet
clutches. Yeah.
I have a problem. Yeah.
So. I would definitely be curious to see, you know, is this still a pairing that him and Balin are doing? This is still a joint thing with those two guys? Okay. Yeah. I would curious to see what this generation looks like.
We're recording. You know that. What did you steal? He took my goddamn paper towels.
Now what are you gonna do?
Now I need to get in. We're fighting now. Now it's happening. Yep. Okay. Took my goddamn paper towels while I was on a podcast. Grounds for divorce.
Oh dear. That's fighting words.
No. Yeah.
I think this is a Caramel Zebra Jag, but you're talking about Brian Hayes, and I know he's like really the like into diamonds and stuff, but he has some more stuff as well.
He was doing maternal incubation with that.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I hope she does it. You know, the Zebra Jag, but apparently she's doing well.
Yeah.
So
got 9 eggs. So I'm
shocked that a Jag's being a good mother for one. But yeah.
I don't know if there's. I kind of tend to think there might be caramel in that. I'm not 100%, but I would.
Are you sure that, like, you didn't make that, did you?
I don't think so. I think with what he got from me was albino zebra jags.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. So maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. But congrats to Brian. Very cool.
Did I? Like, I
perhaps. Yes. And just throwing it out there, just for. Just,
oh God, no! It's
Diamond
beautiful.
Python on the beach. What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Cam candy.
Yeah.
Ice on the rocks.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The trip up soon, that's out to California, right? It's not out to.
Yes.
Okay. California. October, you guys are going back to Australia.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I have time to weep into my hands. Got it.
Yes. I've started the process of talking to people about like where. You know, maybe they could give us some intel in
scouting
diamond spots and whatnot, and see if we can get some diamonds. Apparently, they're somewhat.
Well, the problem is people are going to be like, where can I get some diamonds? Try my house, mate. Like, you know, in the fucking attic. Yeah, it's over there. Yeah. I appreciate that, but yeah.
That's kind of what I had so far. That's sort of what I've seen on the ground. What else do you have? Anything else? Well, you said you had some colubrid stuff too.
I mean, I had that Rob's keeping it real. He had a clutch of, what was it, bloods that he had, or was it some Borneos? I don't know, the slugs. So he got them.
I thought you said he had slugs, but you're saying
no. Slug in, like, the slug snake. Yeah. I know Rob had those, which was cool. As far as Colubrid stuff, a lot of people are gearing up, but I haven't seen too many. Obviously, hog nose stuff's all over the place, but not like mad hogs. We're talking westerns. But a lot of people are getting ready.
It's too early, right?
A little bit, because a lot of people are getting stuff, but they're all like, this thing, this clutch here is, it's like, oh, it looks like Colubrids. Oh, no, those are short snouted cobras. Okay, no, not those. So, but let's see here. Yeah, I think you're just a little bit too early.
Yeah. Speaking of Rob
Stone,
just real quick. No, oh. Christian.
Oh, God, yes. No, I don't want to look at. No, I don't want to see that thing anymore. No, that is gorgeous. I don't know. What do you call it? What do you call that damn scrub? What is it?
I don't know. So, from what I over in our Discord, they were chatting about this scrub, and there was some thought that sometimes they shed out and they're normal.
But that thing's huge.
I don't know. That's been, I think it was Lisa that mentioned that there's been some crazy looking scrubs, and then all of a sudden they shed out and they're normal, which is kind of, I don't know. I would change like that.
I would totally agree that, you know, I've had scrubs over the years that when they were smaller looked a certain way. And of course we can always talk about Benjamin, how at one point he was bone white. And then he shed out into like a more yellowish color. But yeah, that thing is too big for that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I thought of, is it like an ivory type of thing to wear?
An albino kind of esque thing.
Maybe it's leucistic, something like that.
I don't know. I don't know. And that's, I mean, it's gorgeous.
I know there was a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that were freaking out about morphs being in scrubs and like, oh my God, it's the end of this. And I was, you know, I started, there are, right? And yeah, it hasn't really done anything to affect this. So I just don't see, I think first of all, with scrub pythons, you have the idea that that's not a snake for everybody. I think they fall into that retic or that olive python type of box where, maybe not a retic's probably on the
maybe not an olive python, because the olive python just like they have a morph too. But I think you were on the same.
No, I just mean size wise.
Right.
You know,
it falls into that. This is not a 4 foot cage animal.
Not putting it in a CB70 and mass producing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to stick this thing into a freedom breeder rack. You know, some people do, and some people do get eggs, but congratulations, very rarely.
I could be totally wrong with this, and this could just be my perception, but here's my thought.
Go ahead.
I don't think that your average breeder of ball pythons, or like, let's say even just like your typical, not you, but like your typical breeder at a show that has the corn snake, the ball python, the crested gecko, the leopard gecko. Number one, I don't think that they would be interested in an animal like this because it would be hard to sell, right? Because, and not only that, it's going to be hard to keep, where I don't think that that type of keeper wants the difficulty of an aggressive snake or an aggressive large snake. And when I say aggressive, I just mean that, you know, scrub pythons are turned on, right? Yeah. So you need to be able to understand how they operate. They're not going to operate like a ball python.
No.
Like, can it be more?
More not that.
It's
the problem is, and you kind of hit the nail right on the head, that if I'm producing snakes, the idea is that to get it reproducible. So like large odd mutations in species that are hard to breed.
Yeah.
They kind of end up falling off because let's take this animal hoping to God it's a male. Cause if it's a male, it makes it a little bit easier, not very easy, but a little bit easier. So if it's a male, you can try to breed it to several animals. And let's say you manage to get one or two clutches. Well, now you have to hold back all those babies to see if they hatch. Because if they all hatch normal, then you have to see if it's het for anything.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of animals. Now, you managed to get a scrub python to breed once. Now you have to get its babies to breed with each other again. And we already talked about that it is a – it's not a – like 2-year-old, 4-year-old, power feed it up and get it pumping out babies by two seasons. That could be 7 years before a female is ready to roll.
Right.
In the meantime, you're probably trying to breed dad again. You might try to breed dad to other females. Basically, you just be churning out hets.
Right.
Until one of his daughters is ready enough, big enough to breed to either one of his sons or to back to the father.
Right.
To prove it.
And again, even that, you're looking at the time frame of that.
Yes.
Right? It's 5 years to just raise up a scrub, right?
Right.
Let's say, right? Okay.
5 years to raise up.
Maybe longer.
5 years to raise a clutch of scrubs to give it a shot to hope the god that he produces and, you know, and whatever, and that you can get them to breed again. Like, this, it's not an easy thing.
No.
So you have to hope that works out.
I would say to prove it out, you need at least, what, 15 years?
I'd say so. Yeah.
At least. Bare minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe even 20.
Shit part is, what if this is a girl? Like, you know, if this is a female, she's like, what, maybe 3-4 in those pictures, maybe a little bit older?
Yeah, maybe a little bit older, because I think this is a wild one. So
okay.
My guess would be maybe a young adult.
Maybe a young adult. Now you have to feed her. Now, if she was a wild caught animal and you're bringing her in and you're hoping to God that she's going to breed with the males after being in captivity, like, that, you're already starting way behind the eight ball, because now you have to get her acclimated. You have to get her breeding. Some will take to it, some won't. And then you have to get those eggs. Then what you have to do actually might be better if it's a girl, because you might be able to give it a better shot. You might be able to try to breed her son back to her sooner than you would try to raise a female.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess it would just be the worry of the stress of the what you're putting on the animal. I think
you're still looking at 4 or 5 years.
You're looking at 4 or 5 years for her to settle in, and that's if you're good.
If you're
Ryan Young.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're good, it takes her 4 or 5 years to settle. Then you get a clutch. Then it takes you 4 or 5 years to get the male up to size to potentially try to breed back to her. Then you gotta hope to God that works out. And then it'd be another 10. You'd shave 5 years off, but it'd be about 10 years.
So this was the scrub that was posted up, and it kind of went all over social media.
Yeah, it's like a white scrub with some black.
Yeah, it's basically kind of looks like, it reminds me of like a California, like really reduced patterned king snake. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that kind of like when you're looking at it from the top.
It looks like my white-sided black rat snakes.
That's I don't really know a lot of the details of it. I thought it would be interesting
Shit like this pops up in weird species all the damn time.
Yeah.
You know, and very, very rarely do you see something come from it.
Right.
Because you're right. It would have to be, this animal would have to get to the right person in the right place and the right time, and things would have to strike well. And of course, right now it's in the hands of, I guess, the dealers over in,
I'm going to say Indonesia.
Indo. Yeah.
Perdana Petrua.
I guess. They have a couple different, and it used to be, and I know the old school herpers will tell you that it used to be that they could try to get these weird looking ones from the skin farms and the other stuff like that. Now it seems like that a lot of the collectors out there are hip to that trick. So they know they can grab it. And if it looks weird, they can post it on social media, and maybe they can get some kind of a little bit of a bidding war going to try to make sure they get the top dollar for it. Cause I know that's how a lot of people, I think that Cameron found his leucistic king cobra through social media and paid a pretty penny for it. Not Cameron. I'm sorry. Not Cameron. God damn it. I just forgot his name. Nerd. Kevin. Yeah, Kevin. Sorry.
Okay.
I know that's he said that before, and I know that's what happens now is that they find something rare and they throw it up there, and then they wait for the U.S. herpers to come over and be like, "Hey, I'll give you this much for it," and they sell it. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I definitely. Okay.
Oh,
William Filipek has his little update here as I'm going through.
William, go get it.
No. He has.
Like, what did William do?
Oh, okay. Clutch of jungle carpets.
Jungle. It's a zebra, Jag. Right?
No, he don't do. I don't think he does.
Okay, well, it's a zebra.
Yeah, it's a zebra.
Okay.
Speaking of, wait, this was the other clutch that I don't know if I'm assuming you know. I think you have.
I know everything.
Is it this pairing?
I have it all.
Or did he take it down? Did he take it down?
What
happened? He may have taken it down.
What happened?
Mike's clutch of the zebra Jags
master curtain. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That zebra.
That is clockwork. That is clockwork.
So that animal is insane.
Yes.
I'm going to go on record to say that is the best zebra carpet in the U.S. Hands down, without a doubt. He bred it to his ocelot Jags.
Yes.
What the hell? He didn't take it down.
Go to Scattershot. Go to his page. Go to Scattershot Exotics. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's clockwork one, right? And bullet. That's it right there.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah. Bullet is an insanely yellow striped ocelot, like gorgeous. Yeah, ocelot Jack. And then Clockwork is this gorgeous zebra. He showed me Clockwork, and Clockwork had his names because if you look at his face, he has these little like eyelashes, like the dude from Clockwork Orange. And it's just like,
that's awesome.
And it's just like, that is sickening. Like that is
Mike.
And I'm like, oh my God. I remember he showed me Clockwork when Clockwork was like a year old. And he's like, oh yeah, this, and then there's this drawer. And I'm like, oh God, like, it was just like the light emanating from it. And I'm like, it burns. And he's like, yes. And he just closes it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Mike is like the one of the only ones left from that generation of insane yellow and black jungle Jags, ocelot Jags, jungles, just trophy winning at oh my God.
Yeah. It's funny because I learned the same, like I learned by watching Mike where it's like I'm showing you this. You don't get to see what's over here. Like very few people know what's going on here. So he's like, yes. Look at Bullet. Look at you know, Clockwork. You don't need to see what's going on over here. Like, and it's like, well, why? What is? Don't worry about it. It's fine. So yeah,
that'll be good pair. Yeah. If I was doing zebra Jags,
that would be on the list. 100%. Yep.
Okay. All right. So. Yeah, I think I put the whoa.
Put the wow. Holy get it.
I was having a bad day and I went on there and I was just God. Like, holy shit, yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah, she's
so he's got too. A nice clutch.
Yeah.
That's his first clutch of 2024. But Mike is one of those breeders that he's like Andrew Paris is another guy that I think of when it comes to this, but like the animals in the not a huge collection
He's the reason. He's the reason I'm disbanding my ocelot project. Because why the hell am I doing that? Like, what am I going to do when you can't afford Mike Curtin animals? Hey, I'm not going to. So that's enough.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So,
which is funny because I actually got more people talking and trying to contact me because Balin had some ivory jungles.
Oh, okay. And
more people are interested in ivory jungles right now. So obviously you have the bright yellow stuff that right. Mike is doing with and all that stuff. And then you kind of have the other really nice jungles in mid-range. But people that want to tinker are trying to get ivories because they want to tinker and play mm-hmm. in the ivory sand pit because mm-hmm. then you can maybe get like different color this, kind of play with that. And I'm like, you guys know gelatins are a thing, right? Like, and I'm like, it's...
They refuse.
No, not those. Like, no. Get the hell out of here.
We don't want them. Like, it's you and your pure carpet pythons.
I'm like, all right, well, I guess you don't have to. Like, so, but yeah, I think more and more people are moving towards ivory because they like the idea of making like bone white jags, yeah. kind of like go as far as Mike did with those ocelots and those zebras, but white. So they kind of want to do that. And I'm like, and at first I'm like, eh. And then we have that show with Darren with the white coastals. I'm like, dear God, there might be something there. Like,
I don't, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So,
yeah, those are the things that, those are the kind of projects that, I think that, I mean, let's be honest. What more can you do with a yellow and black snake? I mean, unless you're doing a pattern or reducing the pattern.
What more would you do with those yellow and black snakes? What Mike is doing right now?
Yeah.
Like, and now together, like it would just be yes. like, yeah, obviously we've hit these here. So let's try here. Like,
right. So what happens when these,
what happens
things?
If I do this? So that would be where I would go. It's funny because, dude, I'm walking around my room and there's not a lot to do right now because, you know, everybody's waking up, but I'm not breeding anybody. I'm feeding. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking around and in my head, I'm going through what next year is going to look like.
Yes.
So I'm already planning. I'm already yes. going, you know, what's going to be ready next year? What am I going to do this? Well, how am I going to add that? What goes with this? And then we're getting to the point where I'm like, okay, well, we can do that. We can do that. Oh, we'll have to do that. Like that's so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about, it would be nice to hit diamonds this year, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, let's see what happens with that. But for sure, next year to me, you know, and it seems like I've been saying this for the past couple of years. And then I don't breed by the time.
Well, no. So the problem is you were like this year and then like somebody came from the rafters and hit you over the head with a chair and then just kind of kept hitting you. So like, I can't. Nobody can really be like, and dude fucked up. Like, they were like, wait, like, it wasn't give him a chance, goddammit. Like,
right.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, I am.
I don't know. I'll get the enclosure set up over here. If I have to steal some diamonds, though, I am here for you.
So,
I'm doing this
first
for you.
Call I get.
Yeah. oh my God.
So then there's Don Patterson's Freaky Jag Carpets.
Are these, there's, so
what do you think of these?
All right. There's bread lie in here.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yeah.
So it's a bread lie jag.
Yeah.
I'm betting something scream related. So diamonds in there too, right?
It is. Yes.
Okay. So it's a diamond brettle. Jesus Christ. What the fuck? what the hell is that?
They're stonewash stardust jag stuff. So they're reduced pattern diamond, stonewash, jag. So it's brettle, diamond, coastal.
So it's a stonewash to a stardust. Well, thank God nothing came out of that. And those two genes aren't compatible, at least. And then there's a jag, but the colors are nuts. Like
these carpets are like orange and
that thing's like gold,
yellow, gold.
What the hell?
Yeah.
With like a beige background, kind of like.
Yeah, he was sort of saying like in his I put it down here, but he was saying that maybe breeding visual stardust to stone visual stonewash does something weird. You think?
Well, yeah, but the issue I have is I kind of wish the jag wasn't involved.
Well,
Oh, thank you.
No, no worries, sir. There
oh, go. God, no, it's worse. Go back. No, no, take it away. No, I don't want to see it anymore. Oh, oh God, that was terrible. All right, so that is really fucking weird, too. And that's a stripe non-jag stonewash. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like neon yellow as like a base color. And then it's like the creamy beige is like the no, I don't like that one. Get that one away. make those. No.
So
no,
that looks
no,
like
no, that is too much.
It looks like a diamond, right? A little bit.
Yeah, well, no, it looks like a stonewash that but the pattern that they get on the neck just kept going. Like
that's why I think that there's a similar gene. You know, it's very diamond python in the body.
Oh my God. But
at the head, it has that like where
it looks like a brittle head.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It really does. I just noticed that.
No, it looks like a.
Oh, man, it's weird.
No. I don't want to see those. I want to see that one again. No, holy I don't shit. Like that one.
It's
no.
got a weird brittle. It's got a head.
It's got like a weird brittle head.
And it's and a weird it's neck.
A and it's a diamond python and a diamond body. You're like, no, I don't like it. No.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
No. That I can. That. See, the problem is that when you get past the point of no return, where it's like,
just embrace it,
where it's just freaky as shit, and you can just embrace it of, I don't know what the fuck's going on in there, but it looks cool. I can get there. When I'm still not in that point of no return, where I'm like, that's a brittle diamond something. No, don't like it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it has to look like no carpet in the wild at all.
Nothing at all. Nothing ever that was created by man. Like, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty wild, man. I can't imagine if we had like a time machine and we could like take these pictures and go back in time to like when we first started NPR and be God. Like, look at this.
But that's the thing is that yeah, exactly. Like let's just pull the pin and throw the grenade in and see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine posting these in the MP forum when morphs had just started?
Oh my God.
You imagine if you were the guy that took a Stardust diamond.
Right.
And bred it to a stonewash, which
you would be
at that point, they were still calling hypo bred lie.
Right.
And then also threw a jag into that. You've now just taken like $8,000 worth of animals and just dumped them into the same bucket. And I don't know if anybody would be okay with that.
Probably not.
Oh my God.
I do like these high orange ones.
Those look jags. That, yeah, like, those are the, weird.
Without the... Yeah, I kind of like them more than I like...
Yeah, no. We don't need to go back to...
Those
are freaky. Those are freaky. That is terrible.
Yeah, those are freaky.
Those are
no
freaky.
Doubt. Yeah. Freaky jags.
The jags look cool.
Don makes some amazing looking carpets, man. I mean, and he's just like, you know, like I said, there's some people that... I really respect the fact that they just embrace the craziness. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like you're dipping your toe in the morph world. It's not like, oh, I just dip my toe in and see how the water is.
Here we go, baby. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're going for the polar plunge.
Yep. Yep.
Holy shit. But, yeah, you should definitely, again, if, there's with the pictures we're sharing and whatnot, we share the video on Patreon and we also will post the pictures over on the Discord so people can check them out. Or you can just go check out Don Patterson's Reptiles and you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You won't miss them. I promise you will be like, these are the ones they're talking about. They're just
that
crazy
one,
looking
one,
carpets.
And that one. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, man, that's kind of has like
I promise I've had jags that have those head patterns.
See this pattern on here?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like a mountain king snake.
Yeah, maybe.
Like one of those. There's a mountain king snake that's like a jag.
Mm.
And that's what it reminds me of.
So weird.
Has the same neuro shit and whatnot. Because I remember back in the early days, me and Rob used to talk about it and he used to tell me that it's like the same thing that reduces the pattern, takes out the black and makes them wobble. So
gotta love
beautiful. And I was like, why am I attracted to the
pretty ones that are messed up? Yeah.
So, well, that's kind of all I had to
wow.
get over that.
No, 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 no
Yeah. pointed that out.
Make it go away. That is a baby brittle head on a weird ass diamond body. And now,
Which would you rather see, Bigfoot or this snake?
I'd rather shake hands with Bigfoot. Yeah. Okay, no.
Fair enough. Oh man.
Which I say that only because that animal exists. The monkey does not. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. So, did you say you had colubrid things or no?
I mean, I had a couple people that are posting stuff up, but it seems like it's a little too early where.
That's right. We did say that.
It's a couple people are.
Well, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Let's start with this one. Is there a colubrid that you don't have that somebody's breeding or getting ready to breed that you would be like, yeah, I think I would add that? Or are the colubrids just one of those things where you're just like,
yeah,
passing through a show and be like, that'd be cool to keep those? Or a little bit of both.
I won't tell you my secrets.
I can't tell you the secrets. But if I don't have them on my secrets, what the fuck am I doing? It seems like next year is gonna be a big Python year. So I'm kind of keeping the powder dry on a couple things when it comes to that.
Okay.
Because obviously next year will be the first year for the Timors to give them a shot.
Okay.
I'm probably going to give the one female back here a rest, but I have the other female that I gave this year off. She might go. I might not breed ruffies next year. What am I kidding? And then Don and I will have their first real shot next year.
Shit. You got a lot of pythons on the.
Right. And then
okay.
I've been mixing up some carpet pairs in my head. I have some caramel stuff that I want to cross with that caramel stripe. I want to repeat that pairing that I did with him last year, because those babies are coming out fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have stonewashed bread lie again this year, but we'll have to see where that goes. I'm going to do Brisbane's again. There's a lot of, I might do olives. I might not. I haven't decided yet, but there's a lot of different stuff. But as far as colubrids that I would want to add, the speckled thing has been chewing in the back of my head where like I need speckled hogs. Cause I got giants and I got them to breed. Mm-hmm. And I got blondes and I got them to breed.
Right.
And my specs just did not do well. Like so I want to reboot that project and do it again.
Okay.
But I think in the next 2 years, I'll probably have Macs that are ready to go. So that's something.
When are you going to be ready to do like the mandarin rat snakes?
I need to feed them more because they eat like crazy. The male's getting pretty nice and big, yeah. But the female's still so small. Like I need to pump them up a little bit. Like I need to. I feed so irregularly. It's like it seems like sometimes the colubrids aren't going to grow unless I get off my ass and actually just start like feeding them. So
I can relate.
the smaller colubrids. So I have to get them going. But in the next couple of years with them, I should have a couple different pairs of California king snake going. I should have the mandarins. I should have the bamboos are eating everything in sight. But they start so small.
They grow quick.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I have a couple rhinos usually bust out pretty quick, too. Mm. So it's like once you get them onto mice, because of the size that the animal needs to get to, once you get them onto like an adult mouse, they grow so quickly and they just keep growing. And then all of a sudden, your adult male rhino is like huge. And it's like, well, I didn't do anything. I just kept feeding you. And my male rhino now, he maybe gets like my adult proven male rhino maybe gets a medium mouse every couple months just because I don't want him to get any bigger because he's already huge for a rhino. And it's just because I had them on large mice and I kept feeding them. And she lost all the weight when she had the eggs and he just kept packing on mice. So it's like taking him back and like she'll go for non-feeding. Both my female rhinos have refused now.
So are I'm you breeding them again this year?
Yep. Rhinos? Yep. The hornless female was running away from the male yesterday. I was watching her do all that when I was watching TV, and I'm like, he going to get you, or he going to try, but yeah. I think he got tired and he quit and went to bed. So, but the other pair is, they look like they're canoodling quite well. So
nice.
But that's the other thing too, is like in the next couple of years, I'm hoping if she actually gets her off her ass and eats, I'm hoping to get that jag, the tiger jag I got from you ready. Cause okay. I have a red tiger ready for her.
Oh man.
And then the
then
red
tiger in the red game.
I know. Holy then I got to do that. That red tiger's sister is coming up too. And I'm like, well, hell, I got other red tigers that aren't related to her and cross into that. So, but yeah,
next year would be the, so for me, right. Looking through my stuff and whatnot and realizing that's probably not going to happen this year and really focus on getting it next year would be that White Coastal project. It will be the first breeding that I'll be doing of that. And the interesting thing about those is that it also has red in the, like Madam Blueberry is in that lineage. In so they produce reds as well. So imagine making a red and white.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of, I'm hoping that like, cause you said you got locks from the Russians. So I'm still kind of hoping that they, they surprise us.
She's looking
something
in a direction.
Looking like a snake,
I don't, but you know how we always are, man, when we're looking at her.
Dude, I'm already, dude.
You can come over here and be like, what the hell do you mean?
I was already saying that. Like, you know, I was showing Melissa the one tiger female. I'm like, I'm not, I don't know. And like, and she's like, this is a female that'll tear your face off.
Right.
Every time.
Right.
She's not doing that. She's just kind of chilling.
Okay.
What does that tell you? I'm like, she's probably gravid. And I'm like, so she's probably gravid. She might be. I don't know. You do know. You know. What do you know?
Right.
What are you feeling in her body? Probably eggs. Like, okay, just.
Right.
But she's not as big as she used, like as normally. So maybe it's a. Maybe it's a small clutch. Maybe it's a shitty clutch. Maybe there's only going to be like 15 eggs, 7 viable. I'll take it.
Right.
He's a first-time breeder male. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, but I can't fault him for, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think as far as the Russians go, I was hoping that they go this year, but if they don't – you know, me and Eric have that one on loan for 2 years. And then I have my female. So
next I'm pretty sure that boy is just going to stay there now. I'm like, I don't know. I gave away his cage. He can't come back.
He lives here now.
He lives here now. That keeps happening. Like I keep trying to convince Buddy to take all my bread lie and just breed them for me because I need cage space.
And, he won't do it.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to breed Stonewash for me this year because I sat down. I'm like, well, he's got my Stonewash female.
Right.
And he just took my Stonewash male. Wait a minute. Like, it's like if Stonewash
are breeding Stonewash.
Well, it's basically the same shit that we were talking. It's like, Eric, you gave me this tiger. Yeah. And you gave me this hypo. Yeah. You could have done this pairing at your house. That happens now, but it's happening me over there where I'm like, wait a minute, those are mine and you're doing it. And I wait, why am I splitting the, cause those are mine? Like it's
somewhere I fucked up.
I don't know what's going on. And then Balin's got my head Xanax because I told him I was tired of it. And he said he'd get eggs out of it or come hell or high water.
Right.
You know? Yeah, Buddy has my Stonewash male, my Stonewash female, my normal female bread lie. Then he has my tiger head Xanic female coastal. He had Talon till Talon died. It's like
holy shit.
I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of shit over there. A lot of my shit.
Love it.
And he keeps telling me I'm going to breed green tree pythons. At this point, I don't have the time, money, or patience.
Yeah, he, what do you call it, right? Doesn't he have, what do you call it? Didn't he...
Is it Biox, Meraki's? I don't know.
Aruz. That's what it was.
They're all the same.
Yeah, I don't...
No, they're not.
Just, I was going to say, as far as I did have one Chondro clutch.
Oh my God.
This is from Michael Beck. High yellow sarong king.
Wow. Iron,
2024. Who doesn't love yellow chondros? I know I do.
Yeah, but those aren't red babies. So they'll never turn out good. Yeah.
You could go fuck off. I think that yellow and green snake is
awesome. I told you. I want two t-shirts. One that says Red Neo and has a little Red Neo on it, or like, you know, Team Red Neo, and one that has a yellow Neo. And I just want to sell them through the store and see how many Green Tree Python breeder fights we can start. Like, I just want it. I just want that. If you're an artist and you can design two t-shirts, one with a red Neo and one with a yellow Neo on it, please reach out to us. I want this dream to be a reality.
Right. That would be great, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I thought that was a really cool pair.
Yeah, those are pretty. I love it.
And they're like those blaze type of babies.
Right. It's like a reverse. Like normally you see a green snake with those white stripes and white, like this is a yellow snake with a green stripe. It's gorgeous. I love it. If I were to do chondros, that is it. So me now too. If anybody's talking to me about chondros, if you don't have these, I don't fucking care.
Go pound sand.
There you go. We're done.
Right. had to show Chondro some love too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I don't know. Oh yeah. Back to, the pairings or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, a Molly pairing.
With
the Bale and Red. And I think the Inlands are one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to do, a Darwin clutch as well. I don't think that I'll have Breadlie up to size. I have a pair of hypo, it's a hypo of fours and a hypo stonewash that I got from Robert. Maybe next year, the following year.
What? Wimina's, the scrubs.
Oh yeah,
next year too. Yeah, dude, I'm like, it's like
Python year. You're back.
It was like a massive explosion, and then this year I'm like, whoa, buddy. And then next year is looking like it's going to be a goddamn another one. Like it was,
you know, when I was breeding, that was always my thought, right?
Yeah,
was, and I think that's why I went so hard in 2018. I was like, I'm going to knock this out of the park in 2018 and take a break in 2019, and I just couldn't get through the 2018 stress.
The issue is, and what I like about it is that a lot of animals don't go until they're about a year old.
Right.
Especially with carpet pythons. But then also, it seems like if you just have the stuff here, like, I don't know why people are like, I will give you $200 for that snake right there.
Right.
This $500 snake right here. Yes. Right. No. No.
Right.
And they're shocked when I say this because I'm not in a rush, because if I just hang on to it for a little bit longer, somebody's going to come around and be like, I will give you $500 for that right now. Send it. Do it.
Sure.
Right. And I've had, this week was a weird thing for sales. I had some guy call me and ask, because he was looking for Breadlie, and he said he saw that I had stonewash. And I had stonewash head stripe and I had LASIK. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And the biggest thing, I would say the biggest pet peeve of mine is that you've done no research before you've contacted me. Mm-hmm. And you've just kind of are shooting in the dark. Now, I understand some people get excited and all of this stuff. But the question out of your mouth is, what are they? And do any of them get any bigger than each other? So you're asking me if the stonewash get bigger than the LASIKs. Get bigger than the head stripes, especially because you're looking at it and you know that the stonewash and the head stripes are siblings. So I don't, I'm like, no, two of them are mutations and one of them is a line. Like,
okay.
And that's already strike one in my book, because you didn't do anything before you called me. So I would say that it's kind of just one of those things where it does get a little frustrating with that, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's why I don't like selling snakes.
I know, right? That's why I'm just going to end up having to do it. Like, that's the other thing is I'm like, you know, if I have a big year and Eric has a big year, I'm going to kill myself because then he's going to be like, eh. And I'm like, ah,
yeah, take these.
No, I don't know what to do with it. Just sell them. They're inland. It's like, ah. Yeah. So,
yeah, I would love to get a clutch of inlands on the ground. I think that would be really cool.
That's the problem. It's like I sit here and there's certain projects that I want to play with and then I'm kind of working my way through. But then there's other stuff where it's like I should breed it because I want to breed it. And we're getting, I guess, because I've taken several steps back from the I need to breed every single type of Morelia ever created.
Right.
And I'm like, because I know people are going to, like, in the back of my head, even or even some of that I should get a pair of inlands and breed them because then I can take off inlands. I don't care. Like, it's not a thing. Like, if an adult pair of inlands were to fall into my lap and I could set them up, breed them and be like, maybe, but I don't. That's cage space. That's time. That's effort.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a bunch of other stuff here. Like this desk right here, back here, that one,
right?
That's fucking leaving.
Okay.
Cause I can put 4 foot cages
right
up here and do that. And the army grows, but it's one of those where eventually I'm going to have to put something else up here. Maybe. I mean, obviously Ruffy's here, but you know, certain projects, like we've talked about it. I have 4 adult olive pythons. So I need 4 adult olive pythons. So I even need to keep going with olive pythons. I'd like to, I like them, but what's the market on them right now?
Yeah, right now. Well, this is what I would say. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit of bad news that I didn't share at the beginning of the show, but I will share it. It's another kick.
Yeah,
it's
down. Yep. Excellent.
So before I left, I was feeding snakes and I needed to feed my citrus tiger girl. Fed her, she ate, everything was good. I came back.
No, please no, please not.
And she died.
Oh, while you were gone.
Oh,
no, dude. No.
I was my favorite snake in my collection.
Oh, no.
Gutted.
Yeah.
Thank God I held on to
those
the stuff that I held on to from her.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't,
you'd be the project.
That project would be done.
Yeah.
It would be gone. And oh my God, man, I said, you know, like that feeling I came in, you know, I came home, everything was fine. I was like, all right, let me go check the snake room. I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
And I went down and as soon as you smell that smell, I'm like, oh
shit. I actually, my yearling holdback rhino female.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yep. I'm like, I was walking downstairs. I'm like, somebody puke. We haven't fed. And she was just gone. I'm like, what the hell? Like it's,
I don't know. I think it has something to do with the eating. I have a feeling that maybe the temps got too cold.
I don't know about that. I mean, have you ever had an animal that like ate something and died immediately afterwards? Like I think sometimes something gets caught, gets, you know, or they try to throw it back up and it doesn't work out. Like, I mean,
I think that is what happened because you could still see the kind of the bulge a bit and where it was, it didn't seem like that was,
it should have been further down or gone-ish. Yeah.
It should have been gone because there was other snakes that I fed
that were like,
it was gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's like one of those situations where you walk in and you're just like, please don't be her. Please don't be her. Please don't be.
I've had that. Yeah. That was the female. That was the other female Ruffy that laid the first go around. That was the same kind of deal where I'm like, it's almost like you have the sixth sense about it where it's like,
dude,
you walk in, and you're like, it happened. It happened, didn't it? Yep.
On my drive home.
The one thing I didn't
want. Yep. Yeah. On my drive home, this is all I can. I said it to Dory, like, I said it to her like at least 10 times. Yep. I was like, I'm really worried about my snake room. And yeah. She's like, why? And I said, well, because nobody was going to be here. I kind of just thought like, I'm just going to leave the temperature real low. And I saw that we had some cold spurts and stuff, and it wasn't, they still had heat in the cages and all. So it wasn't like they couldn't get the heat. So I was just, and I know that was stupid to think that way because I know that they're, you know what I mean?
No, but there was something in your head. Yeah, it was just a gut thing
that I felt that all was not right with the force, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There was a disturbance. Something is not correct. Yeah, and that, I think you get that, though. It's like how, it's like how I can go downstairs and I'm like, I should check for eggs. And I know that these are the females I should check first because this is where they probably are. Right. You know, it was like the when Aurelia, the last Ruffy to lay last year, I'm like, I haven't seen her for a little bit. I should check on her. Like, and it was just kind of out of the blue. And that's when I found her on the eggs. It was like that. I feel like that sense is something you do develop when it comes to these kind of things.
Yeah, there was just something special about that snake with me. Yeah. I just thought she was the prettiest snake. She was like one of the first big purchases that I made. I bought her in 09, I guess it was.
Yeah, but that's the thing is,
fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, she was old, but she was an older snake.
Older, but you know, that's the thing where it's like you're happy that you have pairs to move forward. I remember my Wiliri Jag, Aurora, when she died, I had her daughter, and her daughter ended up dying of cancer before I got the breeder, and that was the last, because I had sold everything else. Mm-hmm. And that was like the last time, like, no. So like looking back at the collection now, because like Talon's gone. Mm-hmm. But looking at the collection, I have one of Talon's daughters that's probably going to breed next year, maybe mm-hmm. the year after. And then I have that red female that is a Talon kid. And it's like, well, it's like now we get to go a whole new different direction. But it feels like he's still here. He's still plugged in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I have tons of like Venus's kids and all the other caramel stuff that I was playing with. So it's cool to track that kind of stuff and see that, you know, they're still here. And that's why I'm like, I'm keeping two. I'm keeping like 1.1 of every pair. I don't fucking care. So
I guess that was my point. Like just holding it back because I have never appreciated
holdbacks more
than the ones that I held back. Yeah. And I had people that I almost sold them too. And I was like, nah, I should keep these. You know. But
yeah,
It's part of the thing, man. It's part of how it goes. You know, we always talk about the good things. So I figured I would throw out one of those bad things.
There's bad stuff too. I forget the name of the person, but he was over in Australia, and I think then he found out his collection was positive.
Yeah,
and that was breaking my heart the whole time I was reading his thing.
I've talked to him through messages quite a bit because he's really into locality carpet pythons. And I was like, man, I think we're the only two people in the world that give a shit about locality carpet
pythons. There's maybe like three or four, but
And I guess the thing that he was telling me was that, that he, because the morph stuff is really mainstream over in Australia when it comes to that some of these lines are disappearing, and he sort of wanted to preserve some of those things.
I mean,
but once he found out that he had Nino, he just put the whole, and he was really 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 like super meticulous about
I don't think I'd be able to do that. I think I'd rather dissolve my company and not breed snakes anymore than to put them all
I think it would be a herper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I would just stop. I don't think I'd ever breed again.
Yeah.
I think I would just be like, these are my pets now and I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like, I don't think I could ever do
that. Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough when you have those setbacks and you lose animals that are, work so hard to raise up.
We've all been there. You know, we've all had
part of
those.
The gig.
It is. And like I said, every year you've had a good breeding season. If the highs outnumber the lows.
Yeah,
because you're going to get them. Like Riley's having a banger year right now.
Yeah.
With all his clutches. He had like what, two or three slugs?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far his highs are outweighing his lows.
Yeah.
He's doing well. Like it's it.
My highs are not outweighing.
I would say, no, you're you're done. Like, that's enough.
I drop to the ground. I'm on my knees. I'm like, please. God, why have you forsaken me? Like, what did I do? I thought it was a nice person. I can't take anymore.
It's Caddyshack. You're on the ground. You're like, ah, just lightning.
Oh, jeez.
God damn it.
Well, we'll end on the positive.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. It's a good ending place, everybody.
Yes.
God damn.
So on the next episode, we're going to be talking about Python eggs. We'll be back on track. We're going to have Dale Denard. He's going to come and talk to us. He's written multiple papers on Antaresia, maternal incubation. I think his main thing is he did was Antaresia breedings and stuff that he, you know, did all these different experiments, like trying to figure out Python incubation and eggs and all that stuff. So we're going to get a little nerdy and go deep. And
I like it.
Talk about Python eggs.
I was very close to getting a pair of Antaresia the other day, but I didn't do it. So,
yeah. We'll get you there.
No.
As soon as I breed my stimmies, I'll just give you a bunch.
That's not fair because she wants the stimmies and then I'm screwed.
I won't even go through you. I'll just give them to her. Here you go.
That's a lot of people keep saying. But the problem, and we had that conversation. She did the same thing that you did to me where I'm like, I don't want stimmies. She goes, why? I'm like, because they're frog feeders. And then she's like, I'm like,
what?
Get out. You're like, you know, it's like you were like, why won't you do Eastern hog nose? I'm like, because they're frog feeders. Wait a minute.
What about the Owen McIntyre like, bowl of
everything else soup? Is frog feeders. Yeah, all right.
Damn it.
You and your son of a bitch. Hoisted on my own batard. Yeah. So,
and then we'll be back on track. I will say that the carpet cliff notes didn't get recorded.
Nope.
I was due for April 1st, but we're going to shoot for May 1st to be the start because I don't want to rush it. And, you know,
blah, blah. And we don't have to explain ourselves to the likes of you.
Yeah. So if you want to support us, there's some ways you can. You can follow us on the social media, Murray Python Radio. If you want to follow the network, it's Murray Python Radio Network. If you want to help us out with, you can subscribe and share the podcast all around, help get the word out, and check out the rest of the podcast on the NPR network.
Yep.
The Australian Herpetoculture podcast is coming back.
Which
is cool. So I'm excited about those. Missed those guys. They took like a year off, which, you know, that's cool.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
We would not come back.
No. You wouldn't be able to. No, you let me get too long of a break. Like, that's like, you're like, Dory, I got to get back. He's already trying to escape. Like, it's
yes. I said the 2 weeks is the max. I can't go back. I can't. 2 weeks. I can't.
He will run away. And I won't be able to find like, him.
This has been great. So you can check out all the other podcasts there. We also would say that we also have cold blooded.
Caffeine, cold-blooded caffeine is the coffee.
Wait.
They have lots of blends. Yeah.
Yes, but I was gonna say cold-blooded contributions.
No,
too many cold-blooded
that is, why did we name it that? Yeah, all right. God damn it.
This is too many. Too many.
It is. It's too many cold-blooded.
I can't keep it straight. Don't they know I can't talk?
Yeah, the hell. Don't they listen to the show? Don't they know what they're dealing with here?
So we have cold-blooded caffeine. That's the coffee company. Check it out. You got we got affiliate link that you can go there and get it. Those guys are great. They have tons of coffee that you can get. Obviously, we have Carpets and Coffee Blend. It's a darker blend, but if you like lighter stuff, there's plenty of stuff to choose from. Then we have Cold Blooded Cafe.
Yes.
And is it still doing the...
Yes. So, okay. If you used our code MPR10, before, they reset the code, which means you're allowed to do it again. So if you've used it once in the past, you can use it one more time. It's NPR10 to get 10% off of your first order. So you go, put in NPR10, get 10% off. Last weekend, they actually had a sale on Medium Rats, which is like...
I saw that.
Yeah. So make sure you follow them on all social media so that you can see what sales they have available. From what I saw, they are still trying to source bird, quail, and stuff like that. So apparently that is coming. But yeah, definitely cold-blooded caffeine. Or cafe. Okay. Caffeine, cafe, creations.
Creations.
Whatever. It's cold-blooded something. We'll probably attach to it somewhere. So yeah.
Yes. And then if you want to check out the website, MorelliaPythonRadio.com. And if you want to get in touch with us, MorelliaPythonRadio@gmail.com. We also have our Teespring store. And then we have our Patreon that you can check out as well, where, you know,
you can see pictures, you can see the videos, you can get episodes early.
Yeah.
We do the Patreon stream once a month with you, me, Lucas, where we answer questions. There's also the Discord. So if you want to get onto that, it is pretty much a nice place to chat about anything NPR. I don't really, I haven't made my grand entrance yet. I'm there. I'm around.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
You're lurking.
Always watching. But I have not made my grandiose entrance. Yeah, I see you. So, but yeah, there's that there. So definitely jump on that too.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And is this coming out before Saturday?
It will come out for the Patreon people on Saturday and then Tuesday.
Then never mind. I may have seen you at the show, or I didn't, or I did. Who knows?
Who knows?
Beautiful.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, okay.
I wasn't going. Should I close it? Yes. I don't know.
Close.
I don't know what's recorded anymore. All right.
I was doing the recording thing, but it didn't sound right. So I'm like, we do it better live.
God damn it. Yeah.
You do it better live.
But you have to tell me these things. You can't just expect me to know.
I just pause and...
Yeah, just pause.
Why are you not talking?
Why aren't you speaking? Well, you didn't tell me. I was... Never mind.
Yes.
So that's all we have for you this evening. So we'll say thanks for listening. And we'll catch everybody back here next week for some more Morelia Python Radio. Good night.